Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Just those two verses to get us started, and then I'll pray and introduce the message, and we'll get right into it, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you again for your word and for the way that it speaks to us and our everyday situations and needs. And I pray that you'll use the message today to draw people to yourself. Help all of us, Lord, to look past the things that we can see with our physical eyes and look beyond that to our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us and wants us to lean upon him and trust him in all the situations of life. And so I pray that you will guide my thoughts and words today and help me to say what you want me to say. And please, Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, Lord, please. We long to hear from thee today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to consider with me, the chapter begins with the words, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." The previous chapter, chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, gives to us a record of many, many saints of God, male and female, who faced great difficulties in their life, but trusted God, and God came through for them. Now, many of them, most of them, were delivered from their infirmities and the tests and trials and tribulations that they were going through. Some were not delivered, of course, but that doesn't mean God didn't come through for them. He certainly did come through for them and watched over them through the whole thing. So, with chapter 11 in mind, the writer begins, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," I think he's referencing back to all those people that he talked about in the previous chapter. Those that have gone before us, those who have faced, many of them, greater difficulties than you and I will ever have to face, they stayed true to the Lord, and the Lord stayed true to them. And God took care of them all the way along. The thought then continues in verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." In verse number 1, he begins by, I think, referencing back to all those folks that were mentioned in chapter 11. When we get to the end of verse number 2, he's referencing the Lord Jesus Christ and what he went through for us and how he remained faithful in spite of the tribulations and difficulties and tests and trials that he had to go through. And then sandwiched in between, first those witnesses from chapter 11 and then the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But sandwiched in between there, he says in verse number 1, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So here's my thought today in the message. These verses remind us, as it says, "Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us," because, this is why this is in there, because these things hold us back. These things keep us from living a victorious Christian life. These things keep us, or can keep us, discouraged and despondent and defeated. These things that hold us back and keep us from achieving all that God wants us to achieve and all that God wants us to become, these things don't honor the Lord because we allow them to hold us back. All right? These things can keep us not only from achieving all that God wants us to achieve and from honoring Him with our life, they can even keep us, and it sounds simplistic, but they can keep us from enjoying the Christian life. I believe God wants us to enjoy the Christian life. It doesn't mean it'll always be easy. It doesn't mean it'll always be my mom's favorite dessert, vanilla ice cream with fresh strawberries on top. Life is not always like that. My favorite meal, I always asked for this on my birthday, mashed potatoes, green beans, and meatloaf. Every year on my birthday, Mom would ask, "What do you want for your birthday meal?" And that's what I'd tell her. And then she'd always ask me this, "Well, what kind of cake do you want?" It was always the same, chocolate cake with peanut butter frosting. Always the same, every year. Now, does my wife do that for me today? We'll leave that for another sermon. We have a Savior who loves us, who has redeemed us, and who honestly does want us to enjoy this Christian life. It's not always going to be pleasant. It's not always going to be fun. It's not always going to be enjoyable. There's going to be tests and trials along the way, i.e. chapter 11. All right? And the end of verse number 2 here in chapter 12. There are going to be difficulties along the way. That's part of life. But you don't have to let those things hold you back. You don't have to let those things discourage you and defeat you. And by the way, the reason you don't have to is because of our Savior. You notice it says here in verse number 2, right at the beginning, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What's the secret to not allowing these things to hold us back or discourage us or defeat us? What is the secret to going on and being all that God wants us to be and doing all that God wants us to do and achieving all He wants us to achieve? What is the secret to enjoying the Christian life? It's right at the beginning of verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. With that in mind, I want to give you some thoughts today, very simple thoughts today. Very, very simple. Three main thoughts that I want to give you this morning that I think are so important for us as Christians in this day and time in which we live. And let me just give you the three thoughts and then we'll go back and look at them individually. By the way, the title this morning is It's Time to Let Go. It's time to let go. Number one, it's time to let go of your worries. Number two, it's time to let go of your wounds. Number three, it's time to let go of your wrongs. The very first one is this. We're going back to the beginning. It's time to let go of your worries. Anybody here ever worry? Yes. Yes. Including the guy that's right up here talking. We all have, it's just, again, it's part of human nature. It's who we are. It's, in a lot of ways, it's how we are wired. It's something about us. We have a tendency to worry about things. I wish I could stand here and say, I never worry. But that would be a lie. That would be a lie because I get thinking about things and I don't know how it is for you, but for me, one of the worst things I can do is get buried in my thoughts because my thoughts can take me in the wrong direction very quickly. Amen. And they get me to worry about things. They get me to be overly concerned about things. Listen, they get me to the place where I forget the fact that I'm not in charge. God's in charge. When I'm thinking about the fact that God's in charge and that He's got everything under control, and He is saying to me, which He does through His Word and through the Holy Spirit, I've got this, don't worry about it. When I concentrate on that, I'm fine. But it's when I'm not concentrating on that and I'm getting buried in my thoughts and I'm just thinking about this and that and that and the other thing and then something else and then things that aren't even here yet, what happens is I start to worry. I start to get overly concerned. I start to get wrapped up and I've told you this before, but I try to catch myself because I can go to a deep, dark place really fast. I really can. You know, as a human being, and you're a human being, I trust. As a human being, we all have a tendency to worry. And if you think about this, I think you'd agree with me. Normally, when we worry, It's about something we can't control anyway. Normally, when we worry, it's about something that we can't control anyway. Think about how stupid that is. You say, you call me stupid? You took that the totally wrong way. Just the act of worrying is dumb. It's silly. It's stupid. It's just something we shouldn't do. Listen, especially as Christians, especially as people who know the God of heaven, especially as one who, and the Bible teaches us this, he has our life in his hands. Read John chapter 10. It's very clear. We are in Jesus' hands, and Jesus' hands are in the Father's hands. And no man can take us out of those hands. How silly is it for us to worry about something when he has us in his hands and he loves us and he will take care of us? But again, it's usually things that we can't control. We have no control over. And of course, have you noticed this? Life is full of stuff like that. Do a little evaluation, just real quick, in the next minute or two. How many things in your life, and I'll do that in mine, how many things in your life do you really have control over? Wow, the list is small. It's very small. Life is full of things that we have little or no control over, and usually those are the things that cause us worry and concern. It's so silly to worry about things that we can't control. But you know what? Even after saying all this, I'll probably worry about something later today or tomorrow. I mean, how silly, how stupid, how stupid. I don't know if you ever do this, but I have, like the Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. I try to do that. Now, my name's not David, but I try to do that. I try to encourage myself in the Lord and tell myself sometimes, and I've done this, that's really dumb, Mark. Why are you worrying about that? You have no control over that anyway. God has it under control. Just let him have it. I've demonstrated this to you before too, but throughout the years I've used this little illustration a lot. This hymnal, let it represent things that we worry about. And we have that, and we carry that around on our shoulders, you know. And then we hear a message like this, and we're reminded how silly that is and how stupid that is. And maybe if we don't do it physically, walking up here and kneeling at the altar, at least in our mind and in our heart, we're at the altar and we're taking it, we're just laying it down saying, you know what, I'm not going to worry about that anymore. God, you can have it. It's yours. And man, there's such liberty and freedom in that. But it isn't long. We pick that booger back up and set it right back where it was. And then we worry and we fret and we stew and we get anxious and all that kind of stuff. How silly is that? How silly is that? And I do it. I do it just like anybody else does it. But why not learn, and it's a learned behavior, why not learn to turn that over to the Lord and leave it there? Isn't that what the songwriter told us? Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Boy, if I could just do that. If I could just do that. So my point here in this first thought is it's time to let go of your worries. It's time to let go of those. There's many, many verses, and I had more. I had to take some of them out. But listen to this. Proverbs 12, verse 25a, just the beginning of the verse. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Heaviness, what does that come from? A lot of times from worry, overly concerned about things, just weighted down. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Psalm 46, verse 10, just the first portion of the verse says this, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. In other words, take the time, discipline yourself to take the time and get alone with God and be still with him and just concentrate on him and his word and what his word says and just realize who he is and that he can take care of it. By the way, in his word, he says he will take care of it if we let him. Here I am with this burden that I'm carrying, this thing that I'm worrying about, and I've got it, and boy, it's bearing down on me, and it's really holding me down and holding me back, and here it is, and it's almost as if the Holy Spirit would say to me, you know, you could have relief from that if you wanted to. Yeah, but Lord, I already gave it to you, and
Here's what I do. Lord, I already gave it to you and it hadn't been fixed yet. Which is why I picked it up again. Because it hadn't been fixed yet. In my mind. But the Holy Spirit would say, if you'll give that to me and leave it with me, I will take care of it. By the way, I want you to know I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you today. Because I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I thought about it a lot when I was putting this together, but that's me. So if nothing else, you're hearing about me today, all right? But worries, things that overly concern us, and generally, it's things I don't have any control over anyway. Listen to Psalm 25, verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. One more. Matthew 6:27. This verse really smote me this week. Listen to this. Matthew 6:27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You know what that's saying, don't you? It's saying this, from God to me. Mark, how's that going for you? You know, you're worrying about it, you're overly concerned about it, you're thinking about it way too much instead of just handing it over to me. How's that working for you? My honest answer would have to be, not so good, Lord. Not so good. The secret to letting go of your worries is to turn those worries over to the Lord instead of trying to carry them yourself. This may come as a shock to a lot of us, but I believe it's true. I don't believe that God made us to carry our concerns and worries. Because if he did, it wouldn't weigh us down. It wouldn't trouble us so. It wouldn't hold us back. It wouldn't bring us to that point of, you know, discouragement and defeat and so forth. If God made us to carry our worries and concerns, we wouldn't have to worry about discouragement and defeat. Because we could handle it. But the reason we get discouraged and defeated is because we can't handle it. God didn't make us to carry our own worries and problems. Know this also, God is willing and able to carry every worry and problem you worry about. He is willing and able to carry all those worries and problems. Two verses, and then we'll move on to the next thought. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Lord, if I could just do that. Philippians 4, verse 6. Here's the other verse I wanted to give you. Be careful for nothing. That little phrase, be careful, it means don't be anxious. Don't be overly concerned. Don't be weighted down. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Before I leave this, I'm just going to say it again. If I could just do that, life would be so much better. Now, having said all that I've said in that first thought, I believe I've gotten better at it. But I'm not afraid to admit to you, I still haven't arrived yet. Okay? And that's part of the Christian growth that we all have to go through. We hopefully learn and we grow and we mature and we make better choices and we learn to turn things over to the Lord. And I really do believe that I've gotten a lot better at that, but I'm also willing to admit I haven't arrived yet. I'm still working on this, okay? And by the way, he's still working on me about this. I'm saying again, in this message this morning, the title, it's time to let go. First of all, it's time to let go of your worries. Secondly, it's also time to let go of your wounds. As we think about the text in chapter 11, I'm not going to go through it all with you, but you've gone through it before, and I'd encourage you to reread it. A lot of those folks that are mentioned in chapter 11 suffered tremendous wounds at the hands of others. Chapter 12, verse 2, especially the second half of verse 2, talked about Jesus and the wounds that he suffered. Again, at the hands of others. So please notice, I'm not talking about a physical wound. I'm not talking about, you know, you cut your hand or you broke a finger or something like that. I'm talking about other wounds that people sometimes afflict on us. I mentioned this recently in another service, that little statement that says, you know, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's not true. Wounds can be very hurtful and very harmful and do a lot of damage. And listen, cause wounds. So we have to be careful what we say with our mouth and the lips and the words. We have to be very careful about that. We all need to be very careful about that. Not only that, but most likely everyone here at one time or another has probably been wounded by someone else, either by an action or words. Again, I'll admit to this. I've been wounded by people. I remember being wounded by, I'm not going to mention any names or any people or anything like that or any events, but I've been wounded plenty in my lifetime, enough. Not as much as some of those folks in chapter 11, certainly not as much as my Savior in chapter 12 and verse 2, but I've been wounded by others. And I have to admit, if I'm being totally honest with you, sometimes it got me to the place where I just wanted to walk away. I think I've told you before, and I'm not proud of this, but I'm willing to admit to this. There was something that happened many years ago, not here, but somewhere else. And I was wounded to the point where, you know what? I didn't want anybody to call me pastor anymore. I didn't want to be known as a pastor. I didn't want to be in the ministry anymore. It was short-lived, thankfully, but I'd been wounded and I'd been hurt and I'd been damaged and I didn't want it. I didn't want it. Didn't want to be a part of it. Again, it was short-lived and I'm thankful for that. But God reminded me about other saints in the past, like chapter 11. God reminded me of what his son went through for me and how, you know, he was wounded at the hands of others. And listen, don't miss this, how I personally have wounded him. And you know, when you start thinking thoughts like that, you got to snap out of it. You got to snap out of it. And that helped me to snap out of that funk that I was in. Because the truth is, as we live our lives, we're going to encounter various hurts and wounds. Some of those hurts and wounds are, yeah, sometimes they are physical, but a lot of them are emotional, you know, spiritual kind of things. Some of those hurts and wounds are brought on by others, sometimes with nothing that we did to cause it. Sometimes it's maybe related back to something we said or did, but it doesn't matter how it came about. It happened, okay? And we all need to do our best to get past it. Because what will happen is, please don't miss this, it will cripple you. It will cripple you. I know individuals like that. They've been crippled emotionally and spiritually by something that happened 20 years ago. And the person who did it is already gone. But they're crippled to this very day. Now, you can agree with me or not, but Satan won that victory in that situation. By the way, Satan's the one that causes that. You know, the wounds and the hurts. Whether it's intentional or not, Satan's behind it. He loves to divide people. He loves to discourage and destroy people. He loves to do that. And they're going to happen. I wish I could say that, you know, once you get saved, it'll never happen. Oh, man, it's just tiptoeing through the tulips. No, it's not like that. It is not like that. While you and I should always do our best to not be the cause of hurt or wound to anyone else, we need to recognize the fact that it's going to happen to us at one time or another, and maybe several times. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm going to say this, and I hope you'll hang on to this and remember this. You need to let it go. You need to let it go. I know people, again, I'm not thinking about anybody here, but much like the things we worry about, I know people that have been hurt or wounded, and this time the hymnal is going to represent that. They've been hurt or wounded, and they hang on to that. See, I want you to notice, it's not just balancing on my shoulder. I'm holding it there. And I know people like this. They're holding on to hurts or wounds from long ago, and they refuse to let it go. They refuse to let it go. I want you to know, this happens to people that are not in the ministry. It also happens to people that are in the ministry. Because we're human. We're human. But they refuse to let it go. I can't tell you how many times I've talked with individuals and counseled certain individuals. Again, nobody here. I'm not thinking about anybody here. But folks in other churches and people that I've dealt with in the past. And I've sat with them and I've counseled with them. And I can see and just listen to them. You can tell they're hanging on to it. And they refuse to let it go. And I don't know if they're planning one day to get even or to get ahead or what it is. But they will not let it go. And I have been tried and tried and tried with some of these individuals. Let it go. Let it go. You know, just listen, friend. Put it at the foot of the cross. Let the blood of Jesus Christ cover that wrong or that hurt. And leave it there. Let it go. Letting go of your wounds and your hurts is sometimes difficult because, after all, I've been hurt. I've had people say that to me with loud voice, just like that, loud inflection. But Pastor, I've been wounded. I've been hurt. Okay. I would agree with you. I understand. I've been hurt. I've been wounded. These folks in chapter 11 were hurt and wounded. Our Savior's been hurt and wounded. Listen, you've wounded others. You've hurt others. You certainly hurt and wounded our Savior. What if we all just held on to it forever? What a sad world that would be. It's difficult to let go because, after all, I've been hurt. I've been wounded. Somebody hurt me. Somebody wounded me. It's difficult to let go of it because, in some cases, I've had people tell me this. I think I should get even. You know, you don't understand what they said or what they did. They deserve to be hurt. They deserve to be wounded. I need to get even with them. It's difficult to let go of it because sometimes, listen, here's what it comes down to. I deserve better than that. I don't deserve to be hurt. I don't deserve to be wounded. I deserve better than that. Ooh, I wonder who's at the center of those thoughts. I'm not trying to excuse any hurt or wound that you've ever gone through. Please understand me. I'm not trying to excuse it or say, you know, grow up, get over it, move on. I understand it hurts, and I understand it. It really is hurtful and harmful, and it does, it holds us back. And I've known some folks, they've been crippled by these kinds of things. But we all need to remember, listen, we all need to remember what our Savior did for us. And one of the things He did for us when He died on the cross, and I wish I had the verse in my notes. It just came to mind just now. There's a verse, and I think it's in the Old Testament. In fact, I may even know where it is. Let me just see if I can find it here real quick. And you'll remember this, I know, when you hear it. I think the Lord just helped me to remember the reference. Listen to this. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up This is speaking about Jesus. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Listen to this. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, not just so that we could have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. That was the main reason. But he also died on the cross and shed his blood so that all those hurts and wounds could be forever forgotten. The blood of Jesus Christ covers all sin, does it not? Even the sins that were done against us. Thankfully, even the sins that we've done against others and against God himself. It's time to let go. It's time to let go. Not only of our worries, but of our wounds. Probably, most likely, everyone in this room has been hurt and wounded by someone. And without any doubt, everyone in this room has hurt and wounded our Savior. But listen to this thought. Our Savior has chosen to forgive us. Chosen to forgive us. We don't deserve it. We'll never be able to earn it or merit it. But he chose. It was a conscious choice to say, I forgive Mark Weiss or Kathy Thody or anybody here. God chooses to forgive us. You and I need to choose to forgive and let it go. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says it this way, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Can't speak for you. I can't speak for me. I need God's forgiveness. And God is telling me here, if I want his forgiveness, I need to forgive people who have hurt and wounded me. It's time to let go. It's time, number one, to let go of our worries. It's time, number two, to let go of our wounds. It's time, thirdly, to let go of our wrongs. It was mentioned earlier when I started the message that all of us, and I think I've said it several times this morning, we have all done wrong. We have all done wrong, certainly against God and his word, and probably against others. And you know why that happens? We won't enjoy hearing this, but here it comes. The reason we have done wrong against God and against others is because we are selfish, sinful human beings. I realize in the day in which we live, it's not popular to say things like that, but that's the biblical truth. We are selfish, sinful human beings. And that's why we do wrong against the Lord, and that's why we do wrong against others. And it happens, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not intentionally, but that's the biblical truth. There's a very good chance that every one of us have done wrong towards God, and there's also a very good chance that we've done wrong against others, and sometimes we didn't even realize it, but it happened. The wrongs we have done against God and against others, please hear this, the wrongs we have done against God and against others will never be turned around until once we come to the place where we're willing to admit it and confess it. Admit it and confess it. Honesty in this area is so very important. Honesty requires, of course, humility. Have you ever known someone as a human being that it seems they're never wrong? I mean, they're never wrong. It doesn't matter what topic you're talking about, they're never wrong. And if your viewpoint is different than theirs, sometimes they don't even mind telling you you're wrong. Because after all, they're the authority. I know a few folks like that. I'm not thinking about anybody here. Don't want you to worry about that. Some faces come to mind right now as I'm talking, but they're not here. They're not a part of our church. Okay, don't want you to worry about that. But they're never wrong. The individuals I'm thinking about right now, you can't even tell them anything they don't already know. It doesn't matter, again, what topic you're talking about. They already knew it. If it was ever true that there ever was a person that in truth always knew everything and was always right, that person should rule the world. You know that? But the honest truth is nobody is honestly knowing everything and always right about everything. No one. I mean, except for God Almighty, but human beings, no. I don't even know how I got off on that, but the wrongs that we have done against God and against others are not going to be stopped until we come to the place where we're willing to admit to what we have done. That's how I got off on that. These individuals also that I'm thinking of, they're never wrong, so there's nothing to admit to. There's nothing to confess to. Because after all, I mean, it wasn't me. You could have 10 other people right there saying, yeah, it was you. No, it wasn't them. Wow. Honesty, which requires humility, and being humble enough and honest enough with yourself and with others and with God to admit to what you've done and confess that. The wrongs that we have done against God and against others will never be turned around or made right or corrected until we come to that place where we're willing to admit and confess what we have done and make it right. Listen to this verse, Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. It's your sins and iniquities that have separated you from God. That's what it says. 1 John 1, 9. Listen to this verse. You know the verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you got to confess. You got to confess. Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2. You know the story behind Psalm 51. David had sinned against the Lord, and for the longest time he wrestled with, you know, the discouragement and defeat that he felt because he had sinned against God. And it wasn't until he was willing in Psalm 51 to confess what he had done that he finally got release from all that. So in Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2, it says this, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. But it wasn't until he was willing to admit it and confess it that he ever got forgiveness for what he had done. It's time to let go of our wrongs. Is it possible to get along with everybody? No. I've told you before, and I mean this sincerely when I say it. It's kind of funny in a way, but there are some folks that are easier to love at a distance. It's just the honest truth. There's some folks that are just hard to get along with. Like these individuals I was referring to. Always right, never wrong. Can't ever tell them anything they don't already know. Takes all the grace of God you can muster to get along with them. But having said all that, we all need to do our very best to be pleasant, to be kind, to be gracious. How many times have I remembered what my mom told me over and over and over? Maybe you heard your mom say this too. If you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. I mean, I've been in times with these individuals I was referring to where the only thing I could do was just keep my lips together because I dare not say what I'm thinking. But let me just wrap all this together, and I want you to notice again our text. Can we go back there? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and I'm pretty sure he's referring back to all those individuals in chapter 11 that went through a lot of hurt and a lot of wounds and a lot of, you know, things that were brought on by men and women against them. And we have those as an example. And then at the end of verse 2, we have Jesus as an example. But again, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, things like worries, things like wounds, things like wrongs. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How much easier it is to run the Christian race without those things weighing you down. Verse 2, here's the secret. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eye on him. Keep your focus on him, not on those individuals who hurt you or wounded you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, see, he was thinking long term, wasn't he? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Lord, I want to be more like those men and women that are mentioned in chapter 11. Lord, I want to be more like the example of my Savior at the end of verse 2 there. Lord, I want to be able to let go of my worries and my wounds and my wrongs. And I want to live this Christian life in such a way that it brings honor to you, Lord, and that is an enjoyable for me and even those around me. I want to live this Christian life with, you know, vim and vigor and happiness and joy and victory. Is that even possible? I believe it is. And you know why? Because we serve a risen Savior. And he died and was buried and rose again to make it so for all of us. Would you stand with me, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And no one is looking. We don't want to embarrass anyone. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It's time to let go of our worries, our wrongs. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. I started out, and I said it a couple different times, but all three of these things are things that I've been done with, things that I've been involved in, things that I've done, things that I've let weigh me down and hold me back and discourage me and defeat me and so forth. And I'm not above these things. I know. Help me. I want to be a good example to my church family. I want to be a good example to my spouse. I want to be a good example to my children and grandchildren. I want to be a good example to the unsaved community around me. I hope that's true for everybody listening to me today. Bless this invitation. Please have your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.